Well, take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We've made it to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, listening to Solomon, as Solomon has pondered life, has pondered some of his fallings, some of his failings, and how it seemed to make life look so empty. When we look at only the natural, life can seem very empty. When we look at the supernatural, who God is, and how God works, we see so much more. Just one little note, our church made the Fauquier Times. Andrew was sharing with me as I spoke at the Ruitans this past week in just a little bit, and I told them there that I had a captive audience, and they were seated, and it was difficult for me not to preach, but I just shared a little bit from some scripture. And prayed and just reminded us that so many young people that were there did not experience what we experienced. And on that day in September 11th, 2001. And so it's the day that I remember where I was, and perhaps you remember where you were too. And so I urge people to never forget. We need to never ever forget. We need to realize it was a national attack and a spiritual attack as those who came against us. Do not like America. They rejoice in the streets all over the world where Islam is on those attacks on that day. And that's a spiritual element that we can't overlook as part of that day. And in the Muslim world, they call Israel the great Satan and America the little Satan or something like that, or back and forth somehow like that. So it's, we're in a spiritual battle here every day, and we need not forget that. Also, I wanted to give you some news of celebration, but not the happiest news that I had to hear this past week. I've mentioned to you sometimes when we sing the hymn in our hymn books, Without Him, sung many times here, that was We Close or Invitation, that Mylon LeFevre, one of my favorite singers throughout the years, passed away about 10 days ago and went to be with the Lord. He had been dealing with cancer. And I was sad to hear that his ministry was not only in that music, but after that, he had a solo music career. But him and his wife traveled and sharing the gospel for the last probably 10 or 11 years. And so one of our hymn writers of our day has gone to be with the Lord. And I'm looking forward to meeting him again one day because I met him a number of times. But he was one of my favorites, and so I just would share that. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I've entitled the message today, The Harsh Reality of Aging. The Harsh Reality of Aging. We all are getting older. We don't need to be reminded of that very often, do we? You realize that you are 7 days older than the last time I saw you? But I'm also 7 days older. The Harsh Reality of Aging. We all are experiencing aging. At the beginning of life and through life, and let's say probably into our 20s, the aging process seems great. We're encouraging our kids, get up and walk. Get up and walk. Here, let me give you a walker and teach you how to walk. And then they're walking and you're like, oh no, why did I teach them how to do that? Then a little bit later in life, they're getting older. Here, let me teach you how to drive so I don't have to run everywhere with you. And then we're like, oh no, why did I teach them how to drive? Now I'm worried about where they're going to go. Or are they going to get home safe? I know they're a good driver because I taught them, but I'm worried about everybody else around them, right? The aging process, it has all kinds of things. The aging process, it's a necessary process. I know some folks who had a daughter, or have a daughter, that many, many times they were at the hospital or at a doctor's office, more likely, with her because she was not growing like all the other children. She was petite and shorter, and it was a concern for the parents for many years, and they saw many doctors, but she now is a mother and married and seems like, you know, an average adult. And so the aging process kind of brings all kinds of twists and turns. After our 20s, we know that we are aging, but most people want to stop the growing process You know, getting their 20s now. I've got my adult body. Oh, let me not grow anymore. And we go along real nice with that few years. And then all of a sudden, you know, things start happening and start changing. And pant sizes start changing. And dress sizes start changing. And the growing process that we wanted so badly to grow, now we want it to stop. The aging, the harsh reality of aging. Aging for the individual is something that we all face. Everybody wants to find that fountain of life, that fountain of youth, as it's often called. Where's the fountain of youth? You remember hearing that? I don't hear people talking about the fountain of youth very much anymore, do you? It used to be, oh, I want to find the fountain of youth. And now sometimes they want to present it to us in a pot, in a bottle. Just buy this supplement and you will be like 40 again. Just buy this supplement and you'll be like you're in your 20s again. And people spend millions of dollars to try to stop the aging process. And there's a cream. You put this cream on and you'll look like you're 30 again. And then you wash it off and you have to look in the mirror, right? And you realize, who is that that I see in the mirror? But we don't find it. We experience the harsh reality of aging. The Bible, being a practical book that it is, also a spiritual book, reminds us of how to think about the events associated with growing older each day. The harsh realities of aging. Stand as you're able as we give honor to God's word. We look at the first 8 verses of chapter 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes simply means the proclaimer, the preacher. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember what we said? The aging process had so much pleasure in them. I'm getting 13, now I'm 16, now I'm 18, now I'm 21. That's the youth having pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the young men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when thou shalt be afraid of that which is high, and the fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about in the streets. Or even the silver cord be loose, and the golden bowl be broken, and the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Verse 1 and 2 seem so promising. And then he describes the harsh realities of aging. Father, we thank you for the practicality of this book that we hold, this instruction book, this love book, this manual for life that you have given us called the Word of God. And Father, do we pray now you would take it and help us to remember, and the aging process is a part of living in this fallen world, but we yearn for the day that we will be with our Redeemer, the one who will take away all the sickness and all the sorrow and all the pains and all the aches and anything negative that's experienced in this life, that, Lord, you have told us and promised us that you will even wipe away the tears from our eyes and all sorrow will be gone. But, Lord, before those days, we experience what this book is teaching us. We experience that in sometimes life, we see life is so empty and so meaningless until we turn our thoughts to you. And, Father, we pray now as you help us to remember the harsh realities of aging, you would help us to remember the wonderful grace of salvation that erases all the heartache that sin has brought in this world. We thank you for time and your word. We praise you, honor it, and you bless it, and you use it. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible is a library. The Bible contains 66 books, 1,189 chapters, two major divisions, Old Testament and New Testament. I was reading something this past week. Did anybody else see that thing on Facebook, Psalm 118, being the middle chapter of the Bible and the middle verse of the Bible, and before it's 118 something or another, and after it's 100, it was really neat. I don't remember all of it. It was really neat. But the Bible is a tremendous library. In these 66 books that God has given us, up to 50 different authors. I know you've probably heard many people say 40 different authors, but if you take the Psalms and some of the older, smaller parts, there's probably close to 50 authors that God used to give us a Bible, to give us one main message, the fallenness of man and the love of God to redeem us. In the Bible contains everything you'd find in a whole library. Because the 66 books of a library. In the Bible, we find books that give tremendous history. If you like to read history, there it is in the Bible. The Bible gives prophecy, or what some people call foreshadowing. And the Bible gives typologies. And the Bible gives poetry. The Bible gives a book of romance, the book of Ruth, and other places we find love stories throughout the Bible. But in our passage today, there is great imagery in this poetry. Great imagery. Verses 3 through 6 describe aging process through imagery, through pictures, through word pictures. We'll be looking here today, three main points. Looking friendly at aging. Looking friendly at aging. Looking fully at aging. And then thirdly, looking at the finality of aging. Or in other words, we could say, looking friendly at the aging process, looking fully at the aging process, or looking at the finality of the aging process. Let's look, first of all, in verse number 1 and 2, looking friendly at the aging process. The positive verses that we read here, verse 1 and 2. A youth knows they are getting older. There's an excitement. A youth looks forward to getting older. There's an anticipation in getting older. I soon get to do this. I will be out from under my parents' shadow, many youths say. I will be out from their rules, their old-fashioned ways. So the youth is growing with anticipation. The youth looks getting past their youth, and they look forward to adult freedom, so we often think. A youth will often think that aging won't get me like it has affected everybody else. I'm going to defeat age. I'm going to do all this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to not be like somebody else. But Solomon's instructions here to us tell us, why don't you look at aging this way? The positive side is why you're enjoying your youth. He says, the evil days or difficult days will come. The difficult days in youth are often seen as just, you know, not that big of a deal. As we get older, we tend to worry more. Just the opposite of what we ought to be doing. As we get older, we should see the faithfulness of God over the years and see less reason to worry because we've seen God at work. But we think, I'm responsible for what my kids do. I'm even responsible for what my adult kids do, we think sometimes. And we can get in the trap of worry. And so Solomon instructs him here, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days or the difficult days become your responsibility. And then he secondly says, the years are just coming by and they're quickly going. He says, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. In other words, the years draw nigh means they're coming quicker. In the youth, we think, oh, it's going to be so long before that happens. I can remember thinking as a young kid, oh, I can't hardly wait till I'm old enough to get married. Any of y'all think of that? I
I used to sing it all the time.
Am I not the only one in here wanting to get married? God blessed me. He certainly did. He goes on and says, the dark days and nights without the clouds in the sky don't concern a person as much. He says in verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In other words, a young person says, you know what? I don't care. You know, it don't matter to me if it's daytime or nighttime. That's the joy, the friendliness of aging. What do we do? You know what? It's raining today. I'll just go grocery shopping another day. You know what? It's mighty dark. I'm not going outside. But the youth says, man, let's go outside. Let's play hide and go seek. It doesn't bother them at all. And so we see in verse 1 and 2 the friendliness of the aging process. But he gives a warning there. He gives an instruction. He says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. Why does he say that? That's what we've said before, because those patterns that start in their youth will stay with us. Sometimes we hide those things that have been brought into our youth. It was Solomon who said, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he was old, he will not depart from it. That verse could be very also translated, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, those ways will not depart from him. They'll come back to him. They'll remind him or her. They may not do them, but they're ingrained into their thoughts. As we've said before, most people who get saved before the age of 18. That's why youth and children's ministry, Sunday school was originally started to instruct children in the church. VBSs were originally started to train children in the church. A lot of churches now, when they can, they have adult Sunday school. As parents drop their kids off, they have a class for the adults too. But youth, so many people get saved and set those patterns. So we see the friendliness and the anticipation of youth. But Solomon goes on and says, now, looking fully at the aging process, looking at it a little bit differently and looking fully at what's going to take place. And it takes place for different people at different times, depending on genetics, depending on food, depending on habits. Aging process. You know, all of us in this room were considered way beyond old compared to when the pilgrims came here, except for a few of us. But most pilgrims, when they came here to last 55 or 60 years, was an amazing thing. Do you know how back in the history of our country, the part of the reason the Whigs Party got started? Do you know? Do you know why those people, like George Washington and others, wore those white wigs, became the Whig Party? They wore the white wigs so they would look older and look mature and look wiser than they actually were younger people, so people wouldn't despise their youth. And so we see here the looking fully at verse 3 through 5. Verses 1 through 1 and 2 are the fantasy of aging, where we could label verses 3 through 5 the shock of aging, giving in a very poetic and descriptive language. Here are some of the thoughts or meanings of some of these phrases that I understand them, the best that I understand them. And translating these interpreting, there's a few different ones. They all come to the same conclusion that we're getting older, and these are descriptions about a person. As I said before, we not all will experience these at the same time or the same rate in our life. Keep in mind also, as we look at these, the modern medicine that we are blessed to have in our life may prevent some of these things from taking place. Or there might be other things, like dying hair, that makes some of these don't show up. But we see them. We can't stop it. And so I want to just list these, and I'm not going to read each verse because it'll take some time. There's about almost 15 different ones. And this is my best understanding of what verses 3 through 5 are saying, the keepers of the house shall tremble. Is it speaking of their arms getting weaker? The keepers of the house shall tremble. The Bible describes the body of a person as a house many times, Old Testament, New Testament. So the arms of the keeper of the house, what do we do when we need something to eat? The arms get it done. What do we need to do when we, in their culture, when they were hunting for something? Arms. What do we do when a baby needs to be rocked? Arms. And it says here, the keepers of the house shall tremble. And so as we get older, we don't have as much arm strength and control, and they tremble. It goes on and says, the strong men shall bow themselves. This is speaking of the weakness and the bowing of our legs. Strong men, the arms are strong, but usually the legs are stronger. Charlotte and Kent will know this, that most people can bench press a lot of weight, but you can press with your legs probably more than you can with your arms, especially when you're starting out, right? You might change depending on where you put the most emphasis, but the arms are strong to do a lot of things. But look at the legs. They have to hold the whole weight of the body. The Bible says that as we get older, the reality is the strong men shall bow themselves. That's the legs. Thirdly, the grinders cease because they are few. This is speaking about the loss of teeth. And when soft food is needed later in life because the grinders be few. Some people just have better dental health than others. But in that time, they didn't have fluoride in their water. They didn't have toothbrushes like we do. And they ate honey. That's pretty sweet, isn't it? And so it says the grinders may be few, speaking of the teeth. And then it says the fourth one, they look out the windows, be darkened. This is speaking of the loss of eyesight, looking out the windows. What do we often say about the eyes of a person? They are the windows to the soul. And so it says the windows, you can't see out of them. And then it goes on and it says, doors be shut in the street when the sound of grinding is low. This is speaking of the doors of the house being closed instead of being open. In their culture, they would not have air conditioning, so they want the windows open and the doors open, and so they can enjoy the sounds. And as you get older, you don't enjoy those sounds quite as much, and you want the doors to be shut. It goes on, it says, they rise up at the sound of a bird. This speaks of as you get older, you can be just woken up at the smallest thing. A bird chirping outside the window may wake somebody. When years ago, they would have slept like a rock. Now, I sleep like a rock. I think I've slept through some stuff before. Years ago, we were on a youth trip, and we were in Richmond, and not the best part of town because it was a little better price for the hotel to bring youth down to Richmond Conference. And the fire alarms went off during the night. And the next morning when we got up, Connie said, where were you last night? I said, I was sleeping. She said, the rest of us were in the hallway. Your room didn't even get up and come out in the hall. I said, I never heard a thing. As we get older, can't sleep like that as well, can we? Then it goes on and he says, the daughters of music shall be brought low. This means they can't even hear singing. The loss of hearing. When the women would gather and sing in the streets, they wouldn't even be able to hear it. It's brought low. It goes on and says, afraid of that which is high. This is the fear of heights. How many of you remember that when I was younger, you could give me a 12-foot, a 14-foot, an 18-foot, a 20-foot ladder? It didn't matter. I'd go right on up that roof. Get about 40, 50, 55. No, thank you. I let the young guys do that. I remember when I said I could walk up a roof that's 3-pitch, 4-pitch, 5-pitch, 6-foot, you know, right on up those roofs. Put me on there now. You get up there and, you know, your knees start shaking a little bit and you're thinking, whew, need somebody else on this ladder. The fear of heights. I've talked to men that are in the industry, do it all the time. They said, I just can't get on the roofs like I used to could. speaks of the fearing of heights in older age. The fear in the way. This talks about the fearfulness of walking in the streets. I'm not as strong as I used to be. Somebody might be rushing up the street and steal from me or knock me down or take my things that I have. This is the fear of going even in the streets. Now, if they had in their day, I'm glad they don't have TV like we have today. What a mess our country is in. Hey, this stuff is backfiring on our country like we, probably most of us in this room, believed it would. When you defund the police, you're asking for trouble. When you say, listen, it doesn't, you know, we're, you come in our courtroom and we're just going to let you go because we already have too many criminals. What are criminals going to do? I'm going to go in the street and do what I want to do. When you have people going down and tearing down whole city blocks, and one young man comes out and says, you're not going to tear my grandparents' store down. And he took a gun in the street, and I'm not saying that was the best decision, but he stood up for his people and he stood up for his grandparents because they had plans of burning down a gas station that could have destroyed hundreds and if not thousands of people's lives. Wickedness in the streets. But you know what? We have the Spirit of God in us. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. That could be also translated, God has not made us timid people. We need to go in the strength of the Lord. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go in bad, violent situations and things. I'm encouraging you as a child of God to not walk around in fear all the time because the Lord is with us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is what? In the world, the enemy. But it is a part of getting older, the fear of in the way, the fearfulness of walking in the streets. And now it says the almond tree shall flourish. What in the world is that talking about? Anybody have an almond tree flourishing? Oh, I see some almond trees. I see some almond trees this morning. This almond tree, it's described, it's not, the Bible's not jumping out and talking about nature, then jumping back and talking about people again. It says the almond tree shall flourish and become what? What's it say it will become? The almond tree shall flourish and will turn to white. I believe that's what it says. No, it just says it will flourish. I'm sorry. What's it talking about, the almond tree? Well, we don't understand that unless we understand the culture in which the Bible is written. Unless we understand and go back and do some studying about the almond tree. The almond tree is a beautiful tree. Almond trees, most of them have to have a male and a female tree to cross-pollinate. But when they're pollinated and they begin to bloom, they turn beautiful pink. Stand up, Charlotte. It turns pink like her blouse. But guess what happens to the almond tree after it turns pink? It's in its peak. And then as the pink blossoms of the almond fade, they turn white. What's that speaking about? It's speaking about the grayness of hair as it gets grayer. Connie's family comes from a family, gene pool, that gray hair is prominent. Her cousin was 18 years old. He was salt and pepper, 18 years old. By the time he was 30, totally gray. That's what it's speaking about here, and the grayness. And it's not a shame to be gray. Many times in the Bible, it talks about grayness as a sign of wisdom. And that's why my wife needs all the gray hair she can get to put up with me and have wisdom. Then it says the grasshopper shall be a burden. Now, there's two possible translations or interpretations of that. It could mean that grasshopper that's in the house. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Anybody have a basement and grasshoppers get in at the time of the year? And you can't find them. It sounds like it's over there, and it's over there. And if you're older, you get irritated because you can't get down on the ground to pick them up to get rid of them. The first apartment that Connie and I had was a basement apartment, and there was always grasshoppers in it. But this grasshopper also could talk about the fact, as we get older, we can't, hop and jump like we used to. Man, I remember, wasn't that many years ago, I was just going at it. And then when this neuropathy set in, I used to go out with my kids and do front flips over and cartwheels with my kids. Now it hurts me to watch somebody do them. Then it talks about something else here. It goes on, it says, desire shall fail. There's two things that probably is speaking here, desire. It's probably talking about possibility, the desire for food. One of the things of having aging parents is checking on them regularly because they don't eat like they should. Have you ever experienced that with someone? Maybe you're like that, and you need to be reminded that you need to eat something healthy. And you think, well, I just don't have a desire to eat. Well, get a protein shake, something that will, if it's not much, make it as much quality as you can. But the desire many times is gone. I've visited older people and said, how you doing? Are you taking care of yourself? You eating? Well, I ate some crackers and peanut butter in the middle of the day. That's all they ate all day. I said, there's not much value in either one of those health-wise. But it may also be speaking here about desire of a man and wife in intimacy that wanes as a person gets older. Many times the Bible talks about the desire of a person, a man desiring a woman desiring a man. And so it may be speaking of either one of those or both of them, because both of them are true. Then it goes on and says, a man goeth to the long home. What's that mean? A long home was a gathering of people, a longer home where people could go for mourning. Now people that were friends were passing away. You go to the long home. As we get older, we go to more and more funerals, don't we? That's probably what it's speaking of. Talking about death and going to the eternal home, the long home, the home that lasts forever. It says, and mourners go about in the streets, and more funerals and more notes of sympathy being written. This list of 14 things are the possible things that happen to the body and to the person in the latter years. It's not a very encouraging list, is it? But the Bible gives us the harsh realities of aging. Why would God do that? What does God want us to see? What does God want us to see? He wants us to see that this life is temporary and we need to be prepared to be the Lord and go to be with the Lord. He goes on and gives a little bit more of a list. Another portion of this from the Word of God, and this is in verse number 6 and following, and we've already looked at 14 things. And so let's pick up here next week and finish where we are. These things happening in the body that not are encouraging, but what do we do now? What are some other things that we think about as we look at this? I just want to remind us of the thought today that we all, in some way or another, what we would call perishing. We're dying. Romans chapter 8 tells us that all of nature groaneth as a woman in travail, waiting for the redemptions of the sons of God. In other words, we're all groaning in death pains, like a woman would groan in childbirth pains. This hurts. This hurts. That hurts. I got things that hurt now that I didn't even know I had parts of my body years ago. You pay attention to them. You know the same thing, don't you? What do we do? The writer said here, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. But we need to also remember God in the days that are getting hard like this. There's one or two options that people can take to realize the reality of that we're like everybody else and we're dying, and get with God's program and get ready to meet God. Or look at this and say, God, why are you allowing that? God, why does my dear family member that's a loved one that I love so much who serve you faithfully, why are they going through that? That's not fair. God, I'm not going to serve you. God, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to read the Bible anymore. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to listen to Christian radio. I'm not going to go to church because this is the things that you're doing to me, God. When God in his word has taught us, no, it's a result of sin. And I love you so much. And even though you're suffering, I want to give you everlasting life. And when I give you everlasting life, I give you the promise that one day you'll have a new body, a glorified body. And it makes heaven. That old song years ago, heaven sounded sweeter every day. Remember that song? Heaven sounded sweeter every day. Because loved ones are there. Because I want to go there. But most of all, because Jesus is here. Father, thank you that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain and heartache of loss of friends and loss of life and loss of mobility and loss of strength, that, Lord, you still are our strength, our hope. And Father, the physical ailments, help us, Lord, in the physical hurts, to look more at the spiritual hope that we have in you. Father, I pray that you bless each one. Bless us as we have a time of invitation. I pray, Lord, if anyone here has never trusted you as Savior, that, Lord, they trust you now and today before it's too late, as we don't know what tomorrow holds. Lord, help us as we study in Sunday school to be willing to say, I dedicated my life, my body, my soul, my mind, everything, my past, my present, my future, to your glory. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to us now. Help people to make things right with you, do business with you, do in their hearts and lives anything you desire. For your glory, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.